Are there any guarantees for a life of victory in Christ? Edmund Speaker is with us again today, and he'll answer that question on MemCare by Radio. Welcome once again to MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, your host, and we've been going through a series with Edmund Speaker, and the series has been titled by Edmund, Truth That Sets Free. Last week, we discussed, what is my role in living out the new identity in Christ? And this week, are there any guarantees for a life of victory in Christ? We all know the gospel of Christ is good news. The good news of forgiveness from sin and the gift of a new life of fulfillment for those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We all know that. But shouldn't therefore every genuine Christian be radiant and happy? Why are there so many of us who still struggle with sin and defeat? Are there any guarantees for a life of victory in Christ? Are these beginning to sound familiar to you? I know they do to me. Edmund, what do you have to say about that?
Well, Scott, when we mention the word victory, normally we think in terms of being the first, the fastest, the strongest, having made it to the top before others and earned the most desirable position. The whole focus is on us.
Right.
That is exactly where the root cause for our defeat in the Christian life comes from. We need to understand again that Christ came to save us from a hopeless situation. Man is lost and destined to die eternally because he is unable to do anything to change the very core of his being, his sinful heart. But as we recognize this and approach with faith and sincere confession Jesus Christ, asking him to be our Redeemer, God not only forgives our sins, but he also exchanges our heart. The Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. The believer receives a new life, the very life of Christ.
Right.
There's peace and victory in Christ. He is the overcomer of sin, the world, and the devil. If my life is in him and he is in me, there will be victory. What has to happen, though, is that the believer understands and takes up this new position. We already talked about this in prior programs of this series, Truth That Sets Free. It is critical to remember that the believer in Christ has a new identity. He is now a child of God. We mentioned how his thinking pattern will be changed as he starts reading the Bible, God's Word. As a newborn child needs to be nourished and open his mouth to be fed, so he participates actively and intentionally in applying biblical truth in his life.
Well, Edmund, as we are staying with the example of a child that grows and then learns to walk, and as it does, as the child does this, it so many times takes a tumble and falls, gets hurt, and then, of course, mom and dad are beside themselves because their precious little one has fallen. Isn't this exactly, though, what we're talking about? How can the believer walk in faith, avoiding falling to the floor all the time?
Well, Scott, I remember having this discussion in this very office some time ago with somebody who declared that the Christian life was a life of constant ups and downs and many frustrations. The person actually mentioned what Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 7 when he confessed, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." Note that Paul is speaking about his conditioning to the old flesh nature. He goes even further and says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" If this doesn't sound desperate, I don't know what does. But
right.
We must understand, though, that Paul is trying to make a point. And this point is that as long as we try to get victory against sin, the world, and the devil based on our natural resources,
right,
or the conditioning of the flesh, we will always be defeated. Remember, Paul was the blameless Pharisee who had tried to get God's favor by obeying the law, and he lived frustrated. But when he experienced how only Christ can fulfill the deepest need, he said, "I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. So spiritual victory is not only possible through Christ, but it is reality. Paul concludes Romans 7 at the end of this chapter by saying it exactly this. And that's the position of the believer in Christ when the Holy Spirit lives in his heart. That makes us a child of God. The more we understand this truth, the easier our mind keeps focused and the more victorious will be our walk. Mm. The critical factor is that we, the people of God, apply the fact of our position to the very outworking of our condition in daily life. The Bible tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please.
Well, Edmund, you're certainly affirming that the Christian life is not without struggles. And I know that that truth is certainly sobering. Scripture affirms that victory is ours as we yield and give our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit and by resisting doing things that come naturally from the old conditioning of the flesh. In other words, we must constantly make choices.
Yes, Scott, this is how I understand the scripture. But it must be said at this point that spiritual victory is not any merit I get by my own effort. Mm-hmm. Actually, the opposite is true. Only as I relinquish my flesh or fleshly rights and desires and allow the Holy Spirit to take control of my mind, will, and emotions, will I start walking in God's ways and be obeying God's Spirit and doing His work. So this is in the end not about old self, rather the new self, Christ mm-hmm. in me. This victory grows out of weakness and brokenness and surrender. This is the reason why a Christian should not be afraid when problems and suffering come into his life. Actually, the Apostle Paul recognized this so well when he mentioned how he was suffering a thorn in the flesh, probably a physical illness, and how he asked God or the Lord to relieve him from this. And then he said, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul answers, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Later in the same breath, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Well, then this means that a victorious Christian life is a life that really is lived in the power of God and not in the effort of myself, of my efforts. It means, I guess, not necessarily to excel, to always be the best or to advance or to have it all. But it does mean that we let go of our self-efforts and allow Christ to live in our hearts. And Edmund, that is so difficult to do.
Yes, that's true, because it's against the conditioning of the flesh. And
right.
That's where the struggle is, where we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. But that's a calling. And because of this eternal perspective and understanding who we are in Christ, it's worth. Mm. It's worth. Those are the tears the Bible speaks about, that those who sow in tears will reap in joy, that are still part. So a Christian has a right to once in a while accept the struggle and be sad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he does it joyfully. It's almost like a surgery. It still hurts, but the sickness is gone, and you know you are in a healing process. Yeah. So let's come back to the initial question in the program. Is there any guarantee for a life of victory in Christ? As long as we allow for Christ to rule in our hearts, yes, mm-hmm. there is victory. He is our guarantor. But we are not autonomous or automatous. That's the word. Mm. The Christian life is not lived on autopilot kind of condition. We need to constantly refocus and recommit. This is why the Lord told us, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it.
Well, Edmund, thank you very much once again for being with us today and sharing with us the truths that there are guarantees for a life of victory in Christ. You're listening to MemCare by Radio. We'd like to encourage you to listen to our other programs on the site as well as check out the other resources available to you. Our prayer and desire is that these programs are an encouragement for you.